This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits. Make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Fusey Walter wanted to write about the Doc Gooden experience and why there was a smaller crowd. Hey, I just finished hearing your thoughts on the low turnout for Doc on Sunday. I actually went to the game on the Saturday before and felt the same way about the low turnout. Outside of weather, low team expectations, and overall cost, I wanted to add another reason. I feel like those reasons combined with the fact that this was a player from 40 years ago compounds the low turnout. I am too in my early 40s, and while I was alive when Doc was a thing, I was too young to appreciate it. Compare Doc to Mike Piazza, who may come as a fresher in the minds of generations of fans coming to games today. They then compared Doc to Ron Darling or Keith, who's impossible to overlook since they're still around calling games. Next, you can compare him to Strawberry, who will just have a much nicer day for him in the middle of June. I feel like a lot was stacked against Doc from the jump, and this early April date did not help, sincerely. Yeah, I think there's a lot of factors that have led to the low crowds in general, not just Doc Day on Sunday. And I think you pointed it out. I mentioned that a few days ago as well, just his place in Met history in terms of age. You know, you have a generation of fans that Doc Gooden's a historical figure. He's not someone that you have an emotional relation to. When David Wright's number is retired, I think that place will be sold out because I think every Met fan has some kind of emotional tie to David. The Mets are not drawing right now. But what I've noticed, being in the building a couple of times, is that close your eyes. There may only be 18,000 people there. It feels like a crowd and an attendance that's starting to believe. The place is starting to kind of regain its soul. So as a Met fan and a season ticket holder with my dad for many, many years, I've seen a lot of small crowds. I've seen a lot of years where they've drawn big. I've seen it all. And usually there are stages to this. Right now, the Met fan doesn't trust this team. They just don't believe they're any good. And that's fair. They didn't have this big offseason. They're coming off a very disappointing season. And the prices are higher, which I've pointed out, which I think was a business mistake, in my opinion, unless the Mets business people can tell me, hey, who cares how many people are there? We're making more money because we're charging more. If that's the case, fine. You're smarter business people than me. You don't care about how many people are in the building. That's up to you. But usually what happens is there are steps before you start to get the crowds back. Step number one is to get the people that are already there believing. I think that's starting to happen. They had a very good homestand, winning 5 out of 6. And even though the crowds were small just about every day, you could sense from the opener on Friday to the finale on Wednesday afternoon, the crowds starting to get louder, to start believing. But this is a very, very slow process. They're going to have to continue to play well. They're going to have to go to LA and shock us all by winning a series. And I think if that continues and they prove they're a legitimate contender, you're going to start to see the crowds rise a little bit. It's not going to be overnight. Look, the weather turning around certainly helps. Giveaways certainly help. Opponents certainly help. But it really comes down to, do you believe in this team?
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And I think that process takes a while. I just read an email from a guy like Dan, who doesn't believe in the core, believes this team is lucky. before people take their pocketbooks out, their wallets out, they've got to believe. And right now, there's a lot of competing factors. You've got three local winter sports teams in the postseason, and their tickets are crazy expensive come playoff time with the Knicks, Islanders, and Rangers. Baseball fans, you have the Yankees. Though if you're a Met fan, you're a Met fan. You're not exactly going to Yankee Stadium. But they have to keep winning. And if they keep winning, those crowds will start to rise. Jimmy writes, a lot of fight, who's the voice? It's not just a sigh of relief the Mets have given us. They've shown us fight we've been begging for. The fight they lacked last year but was so prevalent in the 2021 campaign. I think he means 2022 campaign. They kind of collapsed at the end of 2021. More reasons to be positive is they dug themselves out of their hole with Lindor still not being able to hit water when jumping out of a boat. Plus, Kodai Senga and J.D. Martinez will join the team at some point. How about Severino? He's looked great and more confident than he's been, and Tyrone Taylor has been great while getting playing time. It makes me wonder if a voice emerged in this locker room. Is there a quiet leader on this team, Lindor, or perhaps did Mendoza take the reins after the Brewers series when we witnessed the lack of fight figuratively and literally? I hope Beatty doesn't go on the IL, but if he does, do you think they'll bring up Mark Vientos for a two-week stint or keep Beatty day-to-day until JD is ready and use Zach Short, Joey Wendell at third base? Something tells me they want Vientos to keep hitting a triple-A and look to trade him if needed. If Beatty goes to the IL, they have to call up Mark Vientos. I mean, who are we kidding? If Beatty goes to the injured list and they don't call up Mark Vientos, I don't know what to say. We do not need to see Zach Short every single day. Joey Wendell's a fine kind of utility piece, but even he I don't necessarily want to see every day. I like him in the role that he's in. A day where he plays second, McNeil plays the outfield, bat off the bench. He can play a little bit, but ideally, and look, I hope Beatty doesn't go on the IL. Hopefully this hamstring thing is minor. You would think Vientos would get the call. In my opinion, Vientos should have gotten the call right out of spring training. Clearly, I've lost that argument. In terms of the voice in the locker room, so last year when the Mets struggled and everybody was trying to find the reasons why, I was one of those voices that said, we're looking too closely here. Maybe the team just wasn't good enough. Maybe it was just performance. Maybe it was the pitching was terrible. Maybe it was just right in front of us. They got awful years out of Marte and McNeil. And maybe digging for reasons in the locker room on why was just not really the answer. And so now that they're playing well, I don't necessarily think doing the same thing applies. Who's the leader of the Mets? I've always thought it's Francisco Lindor. I think you can tell when you watch them every day. I think you can tell when he's working with Brett Beatty during the offseason to improve his defense. I think you can tell when they communicate with each other like we see. Lindor strikes out. He goes over to Pete Alonso and basically gives him a scouting report before he steps up to the plate. But I think sometimes winning and losing, we overreact to everything that we're looking at. Willis Rifkin writes, look at us. So Lindor is still below the Mendoza line. McNeil and Nimmo are lying in the weeds. J.D. Martinez is trending towards Jed Lowry 2.0. And Senga has not pitched yet, but here we are hot as a pistol. It's a good way to look at it. But eventually, you're going to need those guys that you mentioned to step up.